I think often we think that in order to do that, in order to have that affirmation from Christ, we have to do something big for God, something that people will remember. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul or Peter or even, you know, William Carey or Adoniram Judson, great men of the faith that have done incredible things for God. And that may be in the path of your life. That may be something that God has for you. But for most of us, it won't be. And that's not what God requires of us. A life lived pleasing to the Lord is simply one taken faithful steps of obedience, moment by moment, day by day. Even as we just sang, you know, something as simple as serving someone with a cup of water in the name of Christ, being a light in the darkness, sharing the gospel without shame, loving unconditionally. And as we live in that way, just obeying in every step, in every context, situation that God puts in front of us, take that step of obedience moment by moment, day by day. And when we faithfully live in obedience, that's when we'll be able to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's how we can live a life pleasing to God. But even in a life lived in that way, even especially in a life lived trying to please God, trying to do what He's given for us to do, to fulfill the purpose that we're here on earth, to glorify Him, to tell others about Him, we have trials and hard times that come into our life. The pastor was talking about that just this morning. Things that come into our lives that can really cloud our view of God's goodness. You have the temptations, especially as Christians, walking a path that God wants us to walk. The devil brings temptations into our lives to try to get us to stumble and fall, to get us to stray off of that path that God has for us. We have the trials that, again, as Pastor mentioned, that God brings into our lives to make us more like Him, but they're still hard. There's suffering involved. We have the simple realities of living in a fallen world, the pain and the suffering that just come from the curse of sin upon the world. And all of these things can come into our lives and can cloud our view of the goodness of God, of His mercy, of the blessings He gives us. And we can start to doubt, is God good? Does he really care for those who trust Him? Does He really take care of those who believe Him, who are living lives trying to please Him? I'd like you to turn this morning with me to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm 25. And it's a psalm of encouragement, but first we'll look toward the end of the chapter where David is going through much this same thing. He's experiencing so many trials, troubles, afflictions, temptations in his life all at once. Psalm 25, if you look at verse 16, David is crying out to the Lord. He says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." He lays out a laundry list, really, of trials, of temptations, of pain that he's going through. He's lonely. He's experiencing physical and emotional pain. He has people who are after him to destroy his life. And on top of all that, he's weighed down by a sense of his own sin. As Romans 7 talks about, we have our sin nature in us that even as Christians, it fights against what God wants us to do. And we're constantly in a battle and a war against ourselves, to one part of us wanting to do what God wants us to do as Christians, as those who desire His goodness and His, you know, to do what He has for us to do. And the other side of us, our sin nature, completely rejecting and recoiling from anything that is good and that reflects God's nature. And that can be discouraging. Our own sin, the inability to completely and perfectly do what God wants us to do. And David's weighed down by all these trials and temptations. And we often have many of those in our own lives. The loneliness, physical pain, the emotional pain, and with health issues, financial issues, family conflicts. Maybe people that are in your life that seems like they would love nothing better than to see you just absolutely destroyed, that hate you. Those trials that come into our lives. But if you look back up at verses 12 and 13, we'll be looking at this morning, Psalm 25, David reminds himself of the blessings of God. Verse 12 says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." David reminds himself, even in the middle of all these afflictions, of all these trials, the man that fears the Lord will experience God's blessing. The man that fears the Lord, God promises to give blessing to him. He promises specific blessing in these verses. And we can have confidence that when we live fearing the Lord, we will experience the blessing of God. Because our God doesn't change. He's always the same, forever. Now this word fear is not the way that we typically think of it today. It's, you know, we think of fear of snakes or spiders or whatever, just something to be completely avoided, right? That's the way we use this word today. That's not completely the idea that's being conveyed here, the man that fears the Lord. When I was 16, I got my first driver's permit. Like most people, that's a pretty common age. Unlike most people, it took me 3 years to actually get my driver's license from that point. I didn't get it until I was 19. I got my permit renewed 6 times in that span of 3 years. Now, part of it was because my family was kind of in a transition time, and you know there wasn't a whole lot of time to practice, but we weren't in transition for all 3 years. The main reason that I took that long was, frankly, I was a little bit afraid. I never wanted to practice. I didn't want to really get on the road and drive around because I knew that if I got in the car not knowing how to drive and I'm on the road with other people also in cars, if I make a mistake behind the wheel, like a car is a powerful machine. I could hurt somebody. I didn't like that idea at all. So I was afraid of the power of the car. I did eventually get my driver's license. You know, I got that, and as I became comfortable driving behind the wheel of a car, I came to realize that, yeah, it's still powerful. You know, I could still hurt somebody if I made a mistake. But there were benefits that I experienced that I didn't have before. I could get places way faster. There were a lot of good things about the car. And it's not a perfect illustration. But those concepts kind of play into this idea of fearing the Lord. We understand that our God is powerful. He created everything. He controls everything. Our God is holy and just. He hates sin. It can't exist in His presence. And as people that have a sin nature, that reject what God wants us to do, that is a God to be feared, to be completely avoided. But as we read Scripture, we see that God is not only holy and just and powerful, but He's also caring. He's kind. He loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son, His only Son, to die for us so that we could stand before Him. And when we're in His presence, He doesn't see that sin that can't exist in His presence. But instead, He sees the righteousness of Christ that has been given to us, that restored relationship that Christ made possible through His work on the cross, through the salvation that He offers us. That's how much God loves us. And so this whole picture is a God that is powerful and just, but is also good and loving. And this powerful God is working in our lives in love for our good, as Romans 8:28 tells us. To those that love Him, to those that are the called according to His purpose, He works everything. We know that all things work together for good. To those that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. God loves us, and He's working everything, every situation that comes into our lives for good. So to live fearing the Lord, to live in this understanding of who God is to live obeying His commands, doing what He's commanded us to do, because we trust His goodness. It's obeying Him because we trust that the commands He's given us to do are for our good, will result in our good, will result in us becoming more like Him, which is our purpose here. It's the purpose that He has for us, is to become more like Christ, to reflect Him to the world, to praise Him in that way, to glorify Him through our lives. To live fearing the Lord is to obey His commands because we trust in His goodness. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And we're promised here that when we fear the Lord, we will receive His blessing. And we'll receive it in a couple specific ways. First of all, we receive the blessing of the Lord when we live obeying His commands, trusting His goodness. We receive His blessing in guidance. God blesses us with guidance when we obey His commands, trusting Him. Look at the end of verse 12. It says, "Him shall He teach in the way that He shall choose." This is God's guidance in the paths that we choose. It's not God choosing the paths for us, because we have a free will. You know, God has chosen to allow us to make choices, to choose the paths that we take. It's obvious because we have the ability to sin. You know, of course, that's never God's will for us. So He's not just steering us around the paths of life and we have no choice where we go, what we do. God has given us a free will. But He promises that when we fear Him, when we obey Him, trusting His goodness, He'll guide the choices that we make. He'll make it clear to us what we're to do, where we're to go, the choices that we're to make. He guides us through His word and through His wisdom. We have right here the commands of God, the principles of God that guide the vast majority of daily interaction, of choices that we make. There's hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of choices that we make every day in interaction with other people, even just personally. And as we read Scripture and we see what God values, what He considers important, what He wants us to do, those inform the choices that we make in interactions with other people. We're to forgive. We're to love. We're to put them above ourselves. We're to bear the burdens of others. We're to be kind. And those inform the way we interact with others. Those inform the choices you make when you talk to someone else, when you interact with your kids, with your spouse, with your coworkers, with the random person at the grocery store. All of those things, they allow you to make those choices based on what God has given us right here. The commands that we have, the principles that we have of who God is. They inform the choices that we make personally. The thoughts that we're to have are to be pure and just and lovely and of good report, with virtue and praise. That's how we're to think. We're to be holy. We're to pursue holiness as God is holy. We're to seek to be like Him. Then those inform the choices that we make personally. The music that we listen to, what we watch, you know, how we think, what we do with our time. These are choices that we make, that we have to make, paths that we choose, that Scripture guides us in. Him shall He teach, instruct, guide in the way that He shall choose. But there are those choices, those situations that come up, and often they're some of the most important ones in our lives, some of the hardest ones in our lives that we don't have chapter and verse for. You know, I can't go to a specific place in Scripture and say, ah, yes, that's who I'm supposed to marry. You know, I can't tell whether I'm supposed to take this job. Should I move there? You know, how do I deal with this complex conflict that's in my family? Often we can't find the answers directly, you know, chapter and verse in Scripture. But God doesn't leave us hanging in those situations. In fact, He says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and who doesn't lack wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, freely, and upbraideth. He doesn't rebuke. He upbraids not. The all-wise God, creator of the universe, the one who knows everything, promises us His wisdom, His ability to discern in the choices that we make. And all we have to do is ask for it. That's the guidance that God gives in every situation. God promises guidance through His word, through His wisdom. That's an incredible blessing. That the God who controls our life lets us know where we're to go, the choices that we're to make. He gives guidance as we obey Him, trusting His goodness. It's a blessing that He gives to those who fear Him. So God promises guidance to the ones who fear Him. But secondly, God promises faithfulness to those who fear Him. If you look down at verse 13, He promises faithfulness in two specific areas. In verse 13, it says, His soul shall dwell at ease, and His seed shall inherit the earth. This idea of dwelling is to stay is to be in one place, really, to be at home, to stay continually. It's a permanent state of being. And the idea of ease is to rest comfortably, to be at peace. No worries, fears, stresses. It's a state of peace in the soul. God promises to be faithful, to continuously give us peace when we fear Him. Now, this is a nice idea, right? It's great, and we see it throughout Scripture, the promise of God to give peace. But when we look at the world around us, it becomes a little harder to believe, to really grab onto that, because the world around us is so uncertain, and especially in this past year, we've seen over and over again how uncertain this world is, how fearful the world is, how wicked, frankly, this world is coming to be. And Scripture promises that it'll continue to get worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse. So how can we have peace? How can we have especially a constant peace? One that never changes, one that never leaves in a world as uncertain and wicked and fearful as the one we live in today. Well, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 give us the answer to that. We're commanded, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're to give Him the things that worry us, that make us afraid, that stress us out. We're to hand those over to Him by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, recognizing that God is already in control. He's already working situations for our good. He's already completely in control of everything that's going on. No matter how crazy, no matter how out of control it may seem, we must recognize that God is in control, always, constantly. And so in recognition of that, we're to be grateful and to give over our worries, our fears to Him. And when we do that, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The blessings of salvation that we have don't stop at simply, you know, getting to go to heaven when we die. We have these things in Christ Jesus. The salvation that Christ has given us gives us the peace of God, the Spirit that dwells in our heart that passes all understanding. It's a peace that the world can't understand, because it's not tied to any situation. It's not tied to any circumstance that you're going through. The only thing that it's based on is that we know who our God is. We know that He's powerful. He's all-powerful. We know that He's good. We know that He loves us. And so we can have that peace. When we give over our worries and our fears to God, we can have the peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts from fear, from worry, through Christ Jesus. Because we know our God is powerful. We know our God loves us. And we're obeying Him, trusting His goodness. When you fear Him, He's faithful to give peace. And finally, at the end of verse 13, Psalm 25, verse 13, God's faithful to give peace. He's also faithful to keep His promises. The end of verse 13 says, "And His seed shall inherit the earth." This is a reference to a promise that God made to Abraham back before he even had any children. It refers to this promise that He made that Abraham's seed would be a nation and they would inherit the land of Canaan. This promise was impossible when God made it. Abraham didn't have any children. He was too old to have children. His wife was too old to have children. But God gave them a son. And that son became a nation, the nation of Israel, who, when God fulfilled that promise to them, they were a nation of over 2 million people, just come out of slavery, no might, no national unity, nothing. And God had promised them a land that was full of nations that hated them. But He fulfilled that promise to them. He gave them the land of Canaan. And friends, that same God that fulfilled that impossible, absolutely impossible promise to Abraham, to the Israelites, is the same God we have today. The same powerful God, the same loving God that we have today. It's the same God that's promised us in Philippians 1, 6, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's constantly making us more like Himself, and He won't stop until we're with Him in heaven. It's the God that's promised us in Hebrews that He will never leave us or forsake us. It's the same God that promised in 1 John 5:14 that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers as we ask according to his will, as we seek what he wants. God hears us. Those promises and many, many more throughout Scripture are what God promises to be faithful to keep when we simply obey him, trusting his goodness. As we trust that God is good and obey him based on that trust, he will bless in guidance and faithfulness to give peace and keep his promises to us. So friends, I challenge you this morning, don't let circumstances take your joy. Don't let doubts about who God is, about whether he will do what he says he will do, take hold on your life. It's easy to let our circumstances cloud our vision of what God's doing in our life. It's easy to get our focus fixed on what's right here, the pain that we're experiencing, the suffering, the trials we're going through that seem so present and so long and so deep and dark, and not be able to see that all around us, the blessing of God and his guidance, in the peace that he gives, even in the darkest times, in the promises that he has kept to us, that he's continually keeping to us and will always keep to us. It's easy to get our gaze off of those, but they're continually around us, and God continually gives them to us as we obey him, trusting him. I challenge you, let that be a motivation to you to trust God, to follow him, to keep the commands that he's given you because you trust that he's good, even through the dark times, even through the trials. Look for his guidance. Look for the promises that he's keeping to you, the blessings that he gives you, the peace that he gives in the dark times. When you live that way, when you live seeking his blessing, seeing his blessing, trusting his goodness, that faithfulness is how you can know you'll be able to stand before him at the end of your life and hear, "Well done, good, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord that will never cease." Let's pray, and then Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for the revelation of yourself that you've given to us, that we can know who you are, that we can know what you ask of us, what you require of us, and we can be confident in the blessings that you promise. No matter the circumstances that surround us, the darkness that we may be in right now, thank you that we can be confident that you will bless, that you take care of those who serve you, who love you, who desire to please you. Lord, I ask that you would motivate each one of us through this to serve you, to be faithful in obeying your commands, in trusting your goodness through that, knowing that you are who you said you are. You can be trusted. So Lord, help us to go out of here trusting you, obeying you. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.